Citizen input is next. So if you have something you'd like to address the council with, that is the council business, if you raise your hand, I acknowledge you, you can come up to the mic and state your name and address, and we'll give you up to 5 minutes to address the council. Come on up.
My name's Jimmy Almaguer.
Would you say it in the mic? Your name and address.
Okay, my name is Jimmy F. Almaguer. I live at 1065 South 4th Avenue, apartment 27. So watch the square apartments. Mm-hmm. Is this about the gang thing too?
No, that's going to be Thursday night.
Yeah, but I want to tell the council about the gang thing because really, I don't even trust the police department, to tell you the truth. A lot of times I call there. What do you call it? Okay, it's not a long story, but I can make it real short.
Okay, you have up to 5 minutes.
Okay. First thing I want to say is every time I report these gang people, these red people, these guys in their red shirts, they're out there in the apartment complex, and I report them. For a while there, I'd call, and then not even two minutes later, I'd hear three honks on a horn out. car. Honk, honk, honk. And then the police would come, but then the gangs, they're already gone. These guys are all gone. And it's just, okay, the last time I called about a month ago, when there was gang members out there, I called, and I got the three honks on the car, I heard the honk again. So I called the police, I talked to somebody named Mimi, a dispatcher named Mimi. She told me, okay, I told her, I go, why is every time I call here, I hear the three honks, is somebody over there calling on a cell phone or something like that, to these gang members to warn them that somebody has called the police on them? And that was last month. I haven't heard the phone anymore. But this went on for the past couple of years, it's been going on. And I'm always having trouble with these guys because they live right beside me and stuff like that. The apartment managers knows about them and everything. They said they're getting rid of these people. But then to have the police department, sometimes I call some of these guys and I have names of some of the officers and everything like that. I'm not here to complain about the officers. I'm just telling you the truth that when I say something, it's the truth. What these guys have done. There's this Aaron Garza officer. This guy here, he's coming to my door behind the Jehovah's Witness people. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses come over to the apartment sometimes. Well, they come knock on doors. This guy came up behind them. I mean, after they left, he came up right behind them. He's acting like he's some kind of member of the church or anything. He starts I was talking to him, and he's telling me his weird stories and stuff like that. And I look at this guy, and I go, this guy, I know who he was. It was Aaron Garza. And that was one time. But this past year, he came to the apartment one time dressed as, I say he's a gang member. Because this guy was standing there, and I'm scared of these people. I'm not here to fight them or nothing like that. I'm getting in my car to go pick up my son. I get in my car, this guy Aaron Garza comes up to the front door of my apartment, stands there, he's all dressed, and I go, maybe it's just me imagining it, maybe it's not this guy Aaron Garza. And like I say, I'm scared of these people, I don't want to confront them or nothing like that, but I tell myself, okay, if this is this guy Aaron Garza, he's got more to lose than I do. I'm just here, I'm just live here. He's going to have to explain what he's doing there in the first place. So I walk up to him, I look him right in the eye, and he looks at me and he walks off. Then he comes back and he's standing there. Okay, I checked my garage, pretending like because my son's in there. I checked my door, pretend I was checking my door, but he had walked off. So I didn't say nothing to him. I went back to my car, got in my car, and I sat there, and he comes around the front of the car, but I ignore him. I ignore these guys all the way. I don't look at him, nothing like that, because I don't want to see their faces or nothing. But I knew it was him. And that was one officer. But then there's been other times and other incidents. And I, like this officer Sauce, I told him how I came in here, I sat on the table, and I explained to him, this happened about 2 years ago. I explained to him what's going on and everything. I tell him how I lock up my place and everything like that. I told him what I would do in case if these guys try to bust in or something like that. I told him what I would do. I gave him my plan in case if somebody, me and my son, could run to my room, lock it all up, and we'd be okay. I told him that, and then he goes, just look out the window, and I'll come passing by your apartment later this tonight. I did, and there's this big, tall guy in the other apartment in that housing authority thing. Across, he's standing there looking at me like that, inside the window, because this guy Sauce told me, make sure you open the window and see me go by. So I did. I look at him, and sure enough, there's that gang member on the other side, and he's standing there going like, I look at him, and I don't know who this person is, but I've seen him more than just there, just the houses next to me and everything like that. These guys are, so I know the people next to me in the cross street, really, one school teacher, this other one, I don't know what he does for them, but these guys are people of the public, and yet they're involved with these gang members. They're like cousins or something like that of these people, and I see that. And, you know, just to see that happening, and then you hear about all this stuff and everything, and then I have these people living right by me. I'm afraid to come out of my apartment because I'm afraid of getting stabbed, to tell you the truth. Because I know they're welcome.
Yeah. We appreciate your information. I guess I encourage you to make an appointment with the chief.
Okay.
Okay, call in and make an appointment with him and visit with him about what you're sharing.
So I can call the chief and make an appointment with him?
He's there for the citizens.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I will do
so,
that.
You know, he'd want to hear from you. And that way he can see if there's any validity to what you're saying. You know what I mean? We want to hear from our citizens.
I want to tell you the council, because I go, if I tell somebody and they're involved in this, it's like talking to nobody. And I figure if I tell the council, at least somebody will be able to understand, try to understand a little bit.
Yeah. And we appreciate you sharing to us and stuff.
Okay.
And
thanks for your time.
Like I said, do make time and see Steve and, and share with him like you're doing with us right here. And I'm sure he'll research it and see if there's anything that's, needs to be done here. So, but we appreciate you sharing with us. So,
all right. Thank you.
Yeah, because we want the city safe. That's what's going on Thursday night. If you know people, invite them. 6 o'clock Thursday night at the junior high.
Oh, at the junior high?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be there. I'll be there.
Well, good. We want you there.
Okay, just remember, if I get lost or I get stabbed or something like that, you know I'm talking about.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay, any other citizen input? Okay, do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, Charles and Mark Snyder, second?
Dan.
Oh, Dan, you were second?
Yeah.
Okay, Dan was second.
Any
discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
I so move.
Okay, Ken Kaler?
Second.
Okay, Gina? Do I hear any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes then. Bond ordinance. Mike?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of council. This bond ordinance is the final step in the funding of the Main Street and other improvements project. The amount of the bonds has not changed since the initial presentation, and I correct that. It went up about $5,000. There were some other costs, and Jack will talk about that tonight. So tonight, Jack McLaughlin of DA Davidson will address council covering issues of the bond rating, how it impacts interest rates and pricing. And then the city's bond counsel, Cynthia Weed, who is a partner in the law firm of K&L Gates, will present the bond ordinance. So, I put information on your desk tonight. The green folder, Jack will be addressing the green folder. And so if you want to follow him with that, I'll do that. So I introduce Jack McLaughlin.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, members of city council, Jack McLaughlin, D.A. Davidson, Spokane. It is truly a pleasure to be here this evening. I've been working along with the city on the funding of this project, and the bids that came in were just tremendous, which we expected good bids, but it's just tremendous. The market has been very good. I don't know how many of you have seen this document. There are copies floating around. There will be a final with all the interest rates in it in a few days, but it's something we have to prepare that tells major points of finance and economy and everything about your city and on the bond issue. So it's something I think you can glean a lot of information from, is how someone from the outside looks at your city and puts the information together. The really, really good news is in my packet, and I think Mr. Bailey might have also given you one of these. It's the bond rating. Bond rating is quite a process. These companies have been around for over 100 years. Standard & Poor's is the oldest, and Moody's, and then there's Fitch. And what they do is they assess the relative risk for investors. So when investors go to buy a bond, they get a rating. Now, what the rating means, in the past, the city has been non-rated, and truthfully, in the past, cities like your city, that is small, relatively small, it has a relatively small tax base, a high concentration in your processors of assessed valuation. You have, because it's an ag community, there's some good and bad of that. The bad is your unemployment level is usually higher than other averages, and your wealth levels are usually a little lower than other averages. But in assessing your credit strength, there are several spokes in the wheel that the rating agencies look at, and one of the main ones is finance. Do you have a good financial plan? Do you have in place actual resolutions and about fund policy and what you're trying to accomplish? Do you have planning? Do you have adequate reserves? Some entities believe that having adequate reserves, contingency monies set aside, is kind of a sin of some sort, and it's not. It's the public's money. You're holding it there. You never know when some big emergency might come along. And if you have the money so you can work your way out of it a little bit, that's what they look for. The good news is that you were assigned an A-plus rating, which is tremendous. They gave you a higher rating than I was going to give you. Mine doesn't count, but I assess. And part of it was because of the strength, really, of the management assessment, they call it, when we had a phone conversation, and Mike and Eamon and who was there from the city council?
It was just Mike and I.
Oh, those two. Anyway, it was a very strong presentation, answering questions, and they don't badger you. Do you have this? Do you have that? Yes, we've sent that to you. Yes, we answered a lot of questions about the high concentration with the processors and what their posture was, not only in this community but throughout the industry. And in the end, they came back with the A+. Now, I put this sheet in there, which kind of tells you what the ratings mean. An A+ is a very, very strong rating. It's a high middle grade rating. And in the past, many issuers weren't so concerned, smaller issues, with the underlying rating, because they would buy bond insurance and they'd get a AAA. But the AAA from an insurance company really sold like a weak AA, which actually your bonds are selling about like an insured bond would in the old market. The problem is that the reason it sold as a weak AA is that they knew there could be problems with insurers. There were seven insurers that all had a AAA from all three rating agencies. There's only one left, and they don't have a AAA by all of them. They only have it by one. Some of them are junk, and most of them are very low because they got involved in a lot of the collateralized mortgage obligations and a lot of the junk, and it took them down. Anyway, the A-plus rating is a strong rating, and you should really be proud of that, because not many communities of your size and with your economic base can achieve that, and it was through very, very strong financial management, I want you to know. So that was a real plus. Any questions?
It's nice to hear that.
that's very good news, I want you to know. I knew the finances were well taken care of, but as I kept prodding, I found more and more that there was a lot of thoughtfulness going into everything that you were doing, and that really came forth in the management assessment with the rating agency. This is just a little propaganda, so I'm not going to talk about that. So the other thing is, I want to quickly tell you how bonds get priced. Is we, as I say, we're highly regulated. We have to have this document with certain information in it so the investor can make an informed decision along with the bond rating. So we completed this. We did have one of our offices. Most of the bonds actually go to institutions, to banks and funds and stuff. A few go to individuals, but we did put an ad in. Bellingham wanted to run an ad on your bonds, and I didn't get the number of how many they sold, but they put it in a week or so ago, and we're trying to get interest in your bonds. But the process of pricing bonds is we come up with a structure. If you remember, we wrapped this around your city hall, which would be paid off in a few years, so you don't really load up and then drop off. And then we send all this information out to the market, and they're looking at it for a week, week and a half, this official statement and pricing. And then on Friday, I talked with Mike, and I said, here's where my underwriter thinks we will go out Monday morning. Here are the rates he thinks will be good rates. And the way the process is, he said, we're in an order period for an hour. So all these salespeople have been calling their banks and individuals and everyone and seeing how much interest they have. So when the order period starts, they send in their little order. So-and-so wants 200 bonds. This one wants 100. This one. And the underwriter is compiling all of these in a sheet. And if there's too many orders in certain areas, then he goes back and he says, okay, I'm lowering the interest on this maturity. Is your customer in or out? Will they start dropping? And you get down, hopefully, there's an art to it, because you can't lower it and then everyone drops and you say, I changed my mind. It doesn't work that way. So there's an art to it. And conversely, if there's no interest, then you have to raise it a little bit to get someone interested in those bonds. The real heart of what we're talking about is this next sheet. Not the single sheet that says compare A and non-rated, but this document. We went through this once before, and there's a lot of numbers here, and you'll notice there's an 800 number on my business card in your packet. And I'm going to go through this. If you have questions, I'll answer them. But as you look at it, if you have other questions, please feel free to call me. All questions are good questions. There's no silly questions or anything, so I'd be very happy to answer them. Everything's above board. We want you to understand what's taking place. In the page one, in the bottom right-hand corner, first page, this is the sources and uses of funds. So the programs I use generates what size the bond issue is, but we're really starting off with down under the uses of funds where it says deposit to project construction fund. This is the amount that's always been the same, and I never change that. I just leave that. The thing that changes is on the pricing, and I'll explain that as we move forward. But if you look at the next line under sources, we have a premium of $10,703.70. And keep that in mind, and I'll explain where that comes from as we proceed. Then the underwriter's discount, the cost of issuance, and then there's a rounding amount, and that goes into use. So you'll actually have that $3,858.70 added to your deposit to construction fund. Municipal bonds are all in $5,000 denominations, so that number is always between 1 cent and $4,999.99. So that's just the way it comes out. Page two, this is the actual debt service schedule that you'll pay in these bonds each year. Okay. You'll notice that we've retired no bonds until 16. Because that's when the city hall bonds are paid off. So we wrapped this debt around that debt. If you remember, we looked at a lot of different schedules on how to schedule it shorter and longer, and wrapping and not wrapping and everything, and this seemed to be the one that fit best for the city's needs. A very significant number down below is normally when we talk about interest rates, other than bond attorneys, we talk about true interest cost. It's also called Canadian interest cost, and it takes into account the present value when you make the payments. And your rate on these bonds is a 4.362, and that's just a very, very good rate for a bond issue out to 2035. So that TIC is the main number. NIC is a different calculation, does not take into account time value. The 8038, that's for bond council. They have requirements of, and there's some more 8038 calculations. To the IRS, they have to report. The next schedule, three.
Could I, on that interest rate, is that one that could vary depending on the supply and demand for the bonds you talked about earlier?
Okay. Yeah, yes. That's locked in right now if the council adopts the ordinance, but that rate has been up and down. It was quite a bit higher, I think, when we kind of started. We actually hit it a very good time. When things are looking bad in Greece and there's a flight to quality and people want fixed income and they pull their money out of the stock market and interest rates go down. When things are bad, interest rates are low, so. The next page, page three, the first columns over to total P&I are exactly the same as the previous page, but then the existing debt service, this is what is remaining to be paid on the city hall that we're in right now. So you'll notice that we pay this off, then we start paying on the new Main Street project. So what we do is you do go up in the first few years, you're at 312, then it levels out at about 242,000 a year. Okay. Page number four. Now we'll get back to this $10,000 premium. Buyers of bonds, they do not like, for example, if you look at the first maturity type of bond, it's a serial bond, there's a coupon. The coupon is actually what you pay. The yield is what the market or the customer is entitled to. So the customer is entitled to a 2.68, but no one wants a 2.68 coupon interest payment. They want a 3.25. So in order to get you to pay the 3.25, they have to pay you a premium. And if you look across where it says price, they'll pay you 103.321% of the par value of 110. So at closing, they will actually, you will be paid $113,000, and in the end, you only have to pay back $110,000. But in the meantime, they're going to get a 325 when they're entitled to a 268. Now, it goes both ways. There's discounts. There's a few discounts in there. If you look at 12-1 of 21 at the first bar, you'll notice that's 98.977. That customer wanted a discount bond. He likes a round 3.5 coupon, but he's entitled to a 361. Well, in order for him to realize his 361, he's only going to pay you 98.977 cents on the dollar. So when you net all those out, the buyer has paid you $10,000 plus more than the par value of the bonds. So this is just meeting the purchaser's requirements in couponing. And you'll see below it's $3,195,000, then the $10,000 premium which goes to you. So you have the gross at $3,205,000, which is kind of where we were before, but now we have a premium. So the issue for construction monies did not change. It's just in the pricing mechanism. Questions on that? Cost of issuance. There's bond counsel, bond rating agency fee, and I did call and get the final number on that, so that's the number that you will be billed and pay for it out of bond proceeds. And the official statement, the preparation, printing, distribution of the document, the preliminary and final official statements. And the total is $22,600. The 8038 on the back doesn't mean anything to you. That's for your bond counsel. But right underneath that on the same side, I thought someone might ask, so I ran it. This single sheet. I asked my underwriter, remember, bond insurance for all practical purposes is really not worth buying and it's really not available. So your option would be to issue non-rated bonds, and that's not bad. Many millions and billions have been issued, but the interest rate is higher when you don't have a Moody's or a Standard & Poor's saying this is an A. And if you can't get an A, if you're in the B category, you have that schedule on down, you really don't want anything because you want the buyer to make up their own mind. Usually they'll say, I think this is an A, even if it isn't. So you let them make up your mind. You say it's not rated. So what I did was I asked my underwriter, I said, if these bonds were issued as not rated instead of as an A+, what would the interest rate differential in the market be? And he's dealing with all these bonds all the time. And he said 50 to 60 basis points. That's over a half percent. So I used a 55 basis point spread, and I prepared that little document for you. And the new cash flow is the insured rating as you go across, and you look down at the bottom where it says total. The old cash flow is the non-rated, which is where you were before you got a rating. The difference, the savings by getting the rating, $302,416.12. The present value of that, though, is only worth $197,000. Pretty substantial savings. So that is really, really close as to what the differential would be if we would have had to market these without a rating instead of an A+. So you can see the rating means a lot to the city. And it's carried forward. So keep up the good work. The good finances pulled you through. So a lot of numbers there. Any questions?
I'm still a little perplexed. Okay. on the sheet you gave us where it has the rates, and you said we're locked in on that.
The rates and the what, sir?
The coupon, the percentage rate.
Yes.
That we're locked in.
It's called the pricing sheet.
Yes. However, I thought you also said that when these actually go to market, depending on the demand for them, this coupon or interest rate could change. Does that affect
that? Not now. I prefaced the remarks with on Friday. I talked with Mike and my underwriter, and he said, here's where we think these will sell, subject to maybe a little adjustment if something big happens on the weekend. So there was a change from Friday to today. As a matter of fact, some of the front-end ones went down a little bit because more people came in and said, I want those early maturities. So we lowered it a couple basis points for a few years to find the balance between the seller, which is you, and the buyers that are out there at these rates. So he went through this process, and in the end, he actually had, normally we do not sell a whole bond issue during that order period. We try to, but we normally don't. There's areas that some people just don't like, and it's usually in the middle. They like the early ones and they like the late ones, but they don't like the middle. At the end of the order period, he still had 500 and some thousand in bonds. And he said he's willing to underwrite them because the follow-through orders will take care of it.
So there's actually,
but it's not going to change.
Actually, people waiting in the wings right now committed to buying these bonds?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
And tomorrow morning, if the ordinance is passed, I send an email, and first thing in the morning, they send a confirmation to all of the verbal commitments they have. But that doesn't matter to you anymore if
right.
you do it tonight. If someone were to back away and said, I decide I don't want them because war broke out, we think interest rates are going up, well, but no one would ever do business with that person again. So they meet their commitments. If in a timely manner, we will send them the confirmation that says they bought them.
That I'm a little intrigued by that advertisement. Does it actually say City of Alpello Bonds?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Has the mortgage rate for houses being the lowest level in 50 years or something?
Well, affected? We were at about 5% on a 30-year right now.
Has that affected the bond interest at
all? You
know,
the bonds are not really priced off of that. Bonds are priced, it's kind of a function between U.S. Treasuries, and then you have what you call the peer AAA. This is Maryland, and there are certain states that have on their own, without insurance, they've been AAA forever, and that's kind of the benchmark. And everything else trades off of that. You add interest to what the peer number is, and that's kind of the way it is. So you would add maybe it was 55 basis points to that peer number to find your A+. You'd add another 55 to find a non-rated. So that's the way everyone prices them, is off of the peer. It's called the MMD scale, municipal market data. So there's a little bit of science. It isn't just, I wonder what these will sell for. It's everyone knows about where they would, and they start arguing over one basis point, which to you doesn't add up to very much. 55 does, but they argue over one. You know, I think it should be one more, you know, or something like that. So.
Questions?
But one of the things, just so you know, is in some markets we would put that ad in many, many papers. But the problem is in this low interest rate environment, many of the individual purchasers who buy bonds, and they buy a lot of bonds, they want at least 5 or 6%. You get to 7%, you can sell them all to individuals. But when you get down to these really low levels, for whatever reason, I think they should jump all over them because they go down to get their CDs and they get nothing for those, but they still don't, their money is liquid, they can get at it quicker. They don't want to commit at these low rates. They'll commit at 5 or 7%. They'll say, I'll commit for 20 years and get my interest every year, but not at these levels. So the retail interest is sometimes a little on the lacking side for these types of bonds.
Where did you say that ad was?
Bellingham.
The
Bellingham
city?
Herald.
The city of Bellingham?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We have, I don't know how many offices, I lost track, 25, 30, and they all know what's coming. You know, they know way ahead of time. And they just said, we want to run an ad. We said, okay. And my department prepares the ad, and they put it in the paper.
Good. Any other questions for Jack? Okay.
And then in your packet, and I won't go through this, your bond counsel has reviewed it, the bond purchase contract. There's no action on it. It's incorporated in the ordinance itself, but you have a copy in your packet. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
And now I'm going to introduce Cynthia Weed, who is our bond counsel. And she'll explain the ordinance. And
she loves to talk about bonds.
For the record, my name is Cynthia Weed, and I'm with the firm of, it's currently known as K&L Gates. It was Preston Gates and Ellis, and years ago it was Preston Thorgerson. Our firm has acted as your bond counsel for many years. And in this regard, our firm does the legal work associated with preparing the city for a bond issue and drafting the legal documents associated with the bond issuance. The action item that you have before you tonight is Ordinance 1320. This ordinance is a contract, and in this ordinance, you authorize the issuance of the bonds, $3,195,000. That is, you're authorizing a loan of $3,195,000. You're agreeing to final interest rates. The absolute final interest rates are set forth in this ordinance, and they are a commitment on the part of the underwriter, and by your adoption of this ordinance, you're agreeing to pay those interest rates over the life of the bond issue. It sets forth the payment dates. The first interest payment will be December 1st, 2010. Principal won't start until 2016, but you'll be making payments semi-annually. Interest in June, principal in December. The final principal payment is out in December 1, 2035. the bonds may be refinanced in the future on the off chance, but not likely chance, that interest rates are going to drop and go lower. But on the other hand, if you have a windfall and a lot of extra money is coming in, you can pay off these bonds in the year 2020. And I hope to be around here in the year 2020 when you decide to pay these bonds off early, but they may in fact be paid off on June 1st, 2020. So you can call in the bonds that mature after that time. That is, the bonds maturing in 2021 and thereafter. But if you look at the interest rates associated with those bonds, it's not likely that you'll be refunding those bonds for savings, because interest rates at that level are at a very low level right now. As much as I hope to be back here in 2020 for doing a refinancing. This is, in many respects, even though the ordinance itself is 29 and 30 pages long, it's actually a very simple concept. You're borrowing money, and you are promising to pay it back. Full faith and credit of the city of Othello is pledged to pay back these bonds. I know it's a good rating, A+, but as far as I'm concerned, it could be AAA, because we know that the city of Othello will honor its contracts and pay back its bonds over time. And so the rating agencies are now just beginning to realize what many of us have really known, and that is a full faith and credit obligation of a city such as the city of Othello is as good a credit as you could possibly want in the marketplace. These are great investments, and Jack said they had perhaps some bonds left over that hadn't been sold. They might be sold by tomorrow morning. They're great investments for anyone who wants to call up D.A. Davidson and buy some of these bonds, except you shouldn't do that yourselves, because you will be approving the interest rates, and so you don't want to actually be approving interest rates on bonds that you would be buying for your own personal portfolio. But they are a great investment for everyone else that you know if you can get some of these bonds. The rest of the paperwork associated with this bond issue really sets forth additional duties for the city, one of which is because of some new Securities and Exchange Commission requirements that are really imposed upon Jack's firm, D.A. Davidson, the city will have to file its annual financial statements it's a computerized filing. It shouldn't take too long, but you'll have to do annual filings so that the buyers of your bonds can see how the city is doing between now and 2035. Most of these bonds go to investors who never sell them, but sometimes they do, and so people in the marketplace would like to know how the city's doing between now and 2035. If you adopt this ordinance this evening, you're authorizing the execution of the bond purchase contract, you're committing to borrow the money and pay the interest at the rate set forth in this ordinance. This will be the only official action that is required to be taken in order to complete this bond issue. And if you authorize the ordinance, the money will all come in to Mr. Bailey on July 13th, who is then authorized and directed to invest it at the highest and best rate that he can get right now, any legal investment for city funds, and all of those interest earnings should inure to the benefit of your project fund and be available to pay the costs of the project. As mentioned, I love to talk about bonds, probably far more than you like to hear me talk about bonds. I would love to answer any questions that you might have, but understand if you would prefer not to know any more about the intricacies of the bond market.
I got one question. You were saying that in, 2020 you could pay off the bonds?
Yes.
So that would be the same as if we were paying them all the way up to 2035, you'd have to pay them that.
Well, between now and 2020, you could set aside money to pay off the bonds, but you have to pay all the interest that accrues up until that 2020 date. If you decide to pay off the bonds in 2020, you can pay them off at par. That is, you can pay them off at their face amount, and you don't have to pay the interest till 2035. That assumes, of course, that you have the money on hand to pay off the remaining principal amount. Usually people refinance like they refinance houses. In other words, interest rates are lower, which is why I suggested, you would issue new debt in 2020 at a lower interest rate like you would refinance your house and then pay off these bonds. However, these rates are quite low. It's possible, not highly likely, that interest rates are going to be substantially lower in the year 2020. But here's hoping. So you actually can pay them off at par, which means you can stop the accrual of interest in 2020 if you have the cash to pay them off. And who knows, a windfall could come along, you could have something happen where there's just an extra amount of cash on hand and you decide, let's pay off this debt. On the flip side, if you get a lot of cash and the interest rates at that time are 8%, I'd probably suggest invest that money at 8% and keep this 3% and 4% debt outstanding. Yes. That would probably be the wiser course of action. Although, like many of us, being debt-free has a nice ring to it. But if you could manage that positive arbitrage, that could be good for the city as well.
questions for Cynthia? Okay. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mike, or is that it with you, or you have more?
Oh, no, I don't have any more.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
The question for the council's adoption.
Yeah. Discussion on the motion to approve the bond ordinance as presented by bond council. Any more discussion by council? So do I hear a motion to approve the bond ordinance as presented by the council?
Move to approve.
Okay, second. Dan? And Ken Kaler, you're second?
Yeah.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, well, that passes. Thank you for your time, and we're excited. Yes.
One point of interest. Jim has pulled out another agreement with D.A. Davidson that we should vote on and approve that also. It's in your packet.
In our packet.
It's approved in the bond ordinance.
Isn't it?
So
okay.
You don't have
it's
to
in
do
the
anything
okay.
Separate. It's the only
I
action.
I just want to make sure Jack didn't
in Jack, out. No. We took care of Jack. He did. So right. If you approve the bond ordinance, you're authorizing the execution of the
thank
bond
ordinance.
Then what we're going to have to do is we're going to take a 5-minute break. They need this signed and timed. Is that what I heard? So we're going to stop the meeting for 5 minutes, I guess. We'll see everybody or sit around and visit whatever you want to do, and we'll call the council back in a motion shortly again. So.